Joyin and Grace have requested me to share God's word from Psalm 128. The title of my exhortation is From Marriage to Married Life, the Covenanted Married Life. What is it like? The Psalm 128 shows to us. Indeed, it begins when the couple, led by God, decide that they would come together, and they have taken time to seek the Lord together, taken time to go through counseling. And today, the most joyous occasion is in the person's life. The day of their marriage has come. The bride and the bridegroom we see at their best. Indeed, marriage is a time of rejoicing, a most happy occasion, a blessed time of celebration for the bride and the bridegroom, for they have found the better half of their life, for a lifetime of loving and cleaving, caring for one another. Marriage is a legal union of a man and a woman. And the ceremony, the solemnization that we have just witnessed, initiated them as husband and wife, the beginning of a covenant family under God. Joyin will no longer be alone, for God has given to him a helpmeet in a person of Grace. God has established a new family unit for his glory. And our text in Psalm 128 shows us how every family established under God can grow from strength to strength. The marriage is able to persevere by the covenant of God as a vow made between the man and the woman before God, which we have just witnessed. Therefore, as in all biblical covenants, it is God's grace that will help the couple to persevere. And it is their responsibility to look to him always. Joyin and Grace, I say to you, God never fails and never will. There are five developmental aspects which we seek to see from our text as we look at the various facets of life for this new family. In verse 1 and 4, we see the spiritual life, the covenantal life with the Lord. And in verse 2, we would see the working life, the covenant for family life, how fathers need to give their home a priority. And in verse 5, we see the covenant for church life, how fathers, the husband, need to give church a priority. Indeed, the couple, now as husband and wife. And in verse 6, we would see the blessing that comes when the couple, undergirded by God, establishes themselves in their working life, in their family life, in church life. And the covenant for national and generational witness, verse 6, tells us that there is a propagation, there is a witness that goes forth from this family unit. that God will establish. But there are the basic principles that undergird its success. So we would like to look at, firstly, the covenant with the Lord, our spiritual life. Here we see in verse 1 that this psalm is called a song of degrees, a pilgrim's psalm to be sung for travelers going to Jerusalem to celebrate the ancient feasts of the Hebrews. These ancient feasts were family affairs. And it's called a song of degrees or song of ascent because these pilgrims would, in the literal sense, with a family gathered together with other families around them, go up to Jerusalem for the worship of God. And the family rejoices together in God's goodness to them as they travel toward Jerusalem for the feast. And they would meet friends, renewed friendships. The children would play. The adults would converse as they walk. And in the evening camps, all would gather around the cooking fires and share stories and sing. It reminds us a little bit of our annual church camp, isn't it? And also our recently concluded family day, where individual families of the church would gather to one location to remember the Lord in the study of His Word. This is a description of the enlightened Christian family, prospering according to God's divine blueprint for blessed marriage and family life. So the psalm begins with a high note, blessed. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. This is the secret of a vibrant spiritual life and married life, the fear of the Lord. And you would notice there the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, describes the covenant name of God that describes a personal relationship that a man has with his God. He calls him Lord because he has sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord. And this is important. This is special. We need a new nature, a spiritual nature. We need not only to have our sins forgiven, but we need to be made fit to have communion and fellowship with God. We need a nature that can stand before God. For the Bible tells us God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. And Christ has come and given Himself, His own nature, eternal life to all who would call upon Him. And in Psalm 17, our Lord Jesus Christ gave these words concerning how spiritual life can begin in a man. He says, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. And Joy and Grace have begun life together in the Spirit, acknowledging that they are children of the living God under Christ, who is the head of the church. And they have come and sought to begin life as this new family, in this local church. And we thank God for their fellowship with us over the last 2 years. Indeed, we thank God that the Lord established His witness, the church, in order that the gospel, the good news, may be preached and men and women be saved. This spiritual life that comes to us is so important. For the fear of God is the cornerstone of all blessedness. King Solomon lived his earthly life to the fullest. He summed up what is this blessed life, this godly life, when he said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 to 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so the fear of God, this childlike fear of offending our great Father, would restrain us from sin. And when we would be held back, restrained, when the fear of God is in our hearts, then we may not sin. This is what we saw in the scene in Mount Sinai when God gave the law, the Ten Commandments. It was the first time that mankind understood their duties before God and before men. And it was amidst thunder and lightning that God gave this message, His laws, and that His fear, Exodus 20, verse 20 tells us, may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Because we know that there are consequences to sin. The ultimate punishment for sin is death. When we fear God, He preserves us in this earthly sojourn from the misery of sin. So it begins with spiritual life, the blessing of God. The born-again Christian, freed from the bondage of sin, we can choose not to sin. So the commandment of God is no longer a whip, but a lamp to our path. And we learn to love God and to love the people around us. There is an element that is inside us that enables us to love God, to love the being of God, to love the worship of God. That's spiritual life. To love the name of God, to love the day of God, the Holy Sabbath day, the day of rest, the day of worship, to love the representatives of God, our parents, those who give us life, physical life, to love the body of men, to love the morality of men, to love the property of men, to love the personality of men, to love the prosperity of men. And so here our text begins by saying to us, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. When we fear God, then we will choose to obey Him, love Him, serve Him, and love the people around us. And it's interesting that this phrase is repeated once again in verse 4. In verse 4 of Psalm 128, it says here, Behold, look here, look carefully. This is the man, the spiritual man, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. What is this man? You will notice the word man is very special, although it's like the other, well, word that's translated man, but this word is very special. This word gaver is not the usual name for man, Adam, the man that is made from the dust of the ground. But this is the description of a man of strength, the spiritual man. And the psalmist bids us to see this spiritual man. And in verse 2, verse 3, is given to us this man in action, in his working life, this man in action, in his family life, this man in action in church, and this man in action in the larger society and his influence beyond his lifetime. And so here, the Lord wants us to see the blessedness. And it's interesting that the word blessed in verse 1 and the word blessed in verse 4 are two different words. The word blessed in verse 1 is a pronouncement of a blessing. But the blessed that is in verse 4 is an action word, a verb that has a root meaning that means to kneel. And it is in a very intensive action that is being described there in that word. To kneel is blessing. To kneel intensively is blessing. This is a prayer posture of a spiritual man. He's in communion with God, and the spiritual man draws his strength from God through prayer. And the action of kneeling is a prayer posture, the act of seeking God and his intervention in our lives, that we would not move unless God would show us the way. And therefore, you see here, the psalmist says, behold, this spiritual man, how he is blessed of God. This man's spiritual life, dear friends, undergirds all aspects of his life. When it is well, it permeates to all other areas of life, and it begins with a regard for God. To fear him, to put him first, in other words. When we fear God, we will walk in his ways. And it's interesting, we say this, that it is by covenant. In other words, a promise that we would follow God. And when we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we confess our sins and he, by his finished work, has washed us from all our sins, we become a new man. And he perseveres with us. He understands our weakness. And he teaches us, grants us wisdom. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. To understand the holy things. For God is holy. For he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And here it's given to us wisdom, true knowledge. So the fear of God enables us to understand the sacredness of God and the sacredness of man made in his image. That God may not be defiled in our lives, and men, the people around us, may not be defiled in our lives. The fear of God enables men to honor God and to honor our fellow men. Thus, there will be peace in the home, in the nation. And so what is this spiritual demeanor of the fear of God? Jesus says when he first began his ministry, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Jesus says, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The one who understands his own spiritual poverty, no pride at all in the heart. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The humble in spirit, the spiritual man, the mourner understands his own weakness, how we are so prone to fall. Dear friends, this is genuine godliness, and it is not taught by human authority. It cannot be enforced by human, but only by the laws and the ways of God. And so if we follow the Lord, we fear Him, realize that, as the psalmist would tell us, there's no torment in it. Its outworking is a godly life, walking according to God's requirements. And so he says in verse 2, "Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." The literal translation there is "the toil of his hands." He shall eat the toil of his hands. Why? I said to Chua Yen, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Indeed, it is so true how the Lord ordained work, so that when a man is engaged in laboring, in honest hard work, in honest industry, God blesses that man. And when he does so, well, he takes care of his family. The Bible tells us, "With quietness they work and eat their own bread." It is the will of God, the command and exhortation of the Lord, that we should work and enjoy the fruit of our labor. The Bible also says, "If any would not work, neither shall he eat." 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. So families, the father provides for the family, for the needs of the family. He's not slothful. He's working diligently. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so we encourage our young men and women to develop this healthy attitude towards work. Honest, productive work is the backbone of strong families and strong nations. God put his heart into his work. You notice the frog. You look at the eye of the frog. The eye of the frog is gold in color. God adds distinct and beautiful touches to each thing he makes. His energy and his creativity is indeed, as we look at the created world around us, without measure. They overflow in everything that he does. There's no drudgery in God's work. Simple things he may make, but in their simplicity is a work of art. And so we see here how it's so important that there is labor, the working life. Money is so much a part of our life. But the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covetous after, they erred from their faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here, the Bible tells us that a man is to labor and enjoy the fruit of his labor. It is the God that gives us the power to get wealth, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. But at the same time, it is so easy to veer off, to let the career, to let work, to let the love of money blind us, so that we would neglect the family life. And I'm thankful that both Choyen and Grace has been consistently attending adult Sunday school classes, church prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. How important it is. We come to church on Sunday, and as the week draws along, how spiritual life begin to wane, and the midweek, we'll gather together again to seek the Lord, to seek His blessing. And I pray that they would persevere, for it undergirds the spiritual life, that we would have an orientation, that we would have the right focus in our labor. Verse 3. The family life. How important it is that fathers need to give priority, to give their home a priority. And why is it so important? Well, here in our text it says that a father who takes time, spends time with his family to nurture and to love, the family prospers. Verse 3 says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children are like olive trees around thy table." The father is there during meal times. The children are around him on the table. He talks to them. He eats with them. He reads the Bible to them. He takes time to spend time with them. And here is given to us that thriving relationship between the husband and the wife. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine." How important is that cultivation, the cultivation of that relationship between the husband and the wife? And during our marriage counseling, we said to give priority, husbands, to love your wife and give this the priority. This is Paul's instruction. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And the reason why we see there are so many divorces in society is that somehow that relationship between the husband and the wife grows sour. What happened along the way? Well, that they lose that compassion one for another, to regard that regard one for another. And here we see that it is the husband's role primarily, I say to you, Choyen, not the wife, to set an atmosphere of love in the home. And this is a command, and the Lord says we are to do so continually. Husband, love your wives. Material possession, provision is not the priority. Many husbands think that their main responsibility is to provide an increasingly comfortable lifestyle for their wives and children. In fact, they would say that the long hours they work are an expression of their love for their families. But the truth is that many men find it easier to give their wives and children things than to spend time with them and to share their hearts with them in deep, loving relationships. And so here, when we look at the vine, The wife is described as a fruitful vine. Think of it. How it's not easy to cultivate a vine. The vine dresser needs skill to cultivate a good vine. It requires the utmost care of the vine dresser. And so when you see here of the wife being a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, it's a description of thriving relationship between husband and wife. And here you would see in ancient Israel, as it is today, the vine and the olive trees are symbols of economic prosperity. The vine provided wine and olive oil supply fruit and oil. And the Lord wants us to see that olive trees, now we look at the children around the table, takes a long time to mature, to become profitable. You know, an oak tree or an olive tree, from the beginning, it needs cultivation. And it is very precious, and it is a tree that is profitable for many years, many hundreds of years, longer than any other fruit-producing tree or plant. So a good father, a God-fearing father, takes responsibility for the spiritual welfare and nurture of his family. Nor does he neglect their children's physical welfare, not just spiritual welfare, physical welfare. He looks to all the needs. The family prays together, eats together, do things together, stays together. This is a picture of the father spending time with the children to nurture them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The image of vines and olive trees, of abundant life, symbolizing rich blessings, as opposed to other crops like wheat or corn. And the church life in verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Zion was a seat of God's visible kingdom over Israel. The Jews expected national and personal blessings. And here is a description of the visible church, which is the Zion, the center of life for the family. The affections of the godly to a thriving church life, actively serving in church. Here, the Lord wants us to see, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. A thriving church life, growing, studying God's word amidst the child-raising years. The family goes through training, loving, disciplining, releasing the children. Little babies grow up into challenging, independent, thinking adults. Here we see the years that comes. And this psalm describes for us the journey ahead. And so put priority, joy and grace, to church life, the worship of God. That father and mother would take the lead to worship God every Lord's Day. The family that prays together stays together. The family that worships together stays together. And in verse 5b to 6, the covenant for national and generational witness. Indeed, the church is God's ordained means by which God impacts society through the witness of his church. And the basic units of the church are the covenant families. These are the families whom God raised from the working life to the family life, to the church life. And there is a witness that goes beyond that. to society in general. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, and thou shalt see thy children's children. Here we see the propagation of life with God, the spiritual life impacting other lives, so that the next generation, when they come, when they are taught in the fear and admonition of the Lord, well, we pray, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. By the grace of God, to bring up covenant children, so that there would be a general witness that goes out from that family. Father, mother, children, to the rest of the world. And we thank the Lord that Joyen and Grace has come. Parents has also come. Siblings have also come to worship together. Indeed, it is such a joyous thing to see the Spirit of God working to prepare the hearts of men to love Him and to serve Him and to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And so I say here in conclusion to Joyen and Grace, the covenant with the Lord, the spiritual life, how important it is that we would guard it. We fall in our closet long before we would fall in public. The working life for the support of the family, the covenant to support the family. And fathers need to give their home a priority. Covenant for family life. And fathers need to give church life a priority. Covenant for church life. And covenant for national and generational witness. We see here godliness and fruitfulness. When we fear God, we would follow Him, and there would be overall fruitfulness through Him. May the Lord bless the witness of your families for the Lord's sake and for His honor and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit and grant us indeed a special blessing for Joyen and Grace and their families for Thy own honor and glory. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.